Amen. Will you open up your Bible with me in our time together in God's Word to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, we're going to see the parable of the weeds. The parable of the weeds. And today, I've entitled the message, Wheat Among Weeds. We're thinking about asking the Lord Jesus for His kingdom to come into our hearts and into our lives. We prayed that prayer this morning. At the very end of that prayer, I think it was inadvertently cut off there. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. His is the kingdom now and today. But we pray that His kingdom would come. And when we say that, we're saying, Lord, allow Your rule and Your reign in my life today. That's what we're asking. So the kingdom of God is also synonymous with the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew's gospel, he uses the language kingdom of heaven. In the other gospels, it's the kingdom of God. The rule of God in the hearts of His subjects. That's you and me. We're His subjects. Amen. He's the king of the kingdom. And we're the subjects in the kingdom. But when you pray that prayer, what you're saying is, God, have Your will in me. Let Your will be done in me. Well, we're going to learn about the kingdom today from the parable of the weeds. So would you stand with me if you found your place in God's Word? Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 24. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn.'" Let us pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your word today, Lord, and we humble our hearts before You, God. We know that we're exposed. Our hearts are open, wide open before You, before Your word today. And so, Lord, we pray like a surgeon, You would do Your work. And Father, that we would submit willingly to that work, that we would be changed and made like Jesus Christ. Lord, that You would sanctify us by Your word, for Your word is truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today's parable reveals that there is an enemy who has come up against the kingdom of God. There are two kingdoms at war in the world. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, our enemy. But I want you to see this truth this morning. The kingdom of God will prevail over the kingdom of Satan. The kingdom of God will prevail over the kingdom of Satan. But as we look at the parable, the question arises, and I believe what Jesus is answering with this parable is, why is the enemy gaining so much ground today? Why does he seem to have so much territory? Why isn't the kingdom of God universal right now? Why are there still bad things happening in the world? Well, I want you to see with me, I want you to see three realities that we learn about the kingdom of God from the parable. Number one, I want you to see the intent of the enemy. What is his intention? Because that's how the parable begins. And by the way, if you just look across the page, or maybe it's on the next page in your Bible, you see the parable of the weeds explained by Jesus in verses 36 and following. So you could just mark that in your Bible, because that's the key to the parable. It's to understand it. And so just looking at that for just a moment, I've got a slide here that we're just going to hit real quickly. Just a few things about it. When you look in verses 36 and following, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Now that's the way Jesus refers to Himself in the Scripture, is the Son of Man. So He's talking about Himself. The one who sows the good seed is Jesus. The field is the world. The good seed is the sons of the kingdom. That's you and me, by the way. If you know Jesus, you're good seed. Amen. Last time you were dirt, you've moved up a little bit to seeds today. Amen. You're the seeds of the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. And so as we think about the parable of the weeds there, we see this intent of the enemy, the kind of person that he is. The devil is at work today. When we think about the word enemy, that word Satan, we think about that word. He's our adversary. He's our enemy. He's against us. But not only is he against us, and the question is, why is he against us? He's against us because he's against God. And if you are the good seed, he's against you on a daily basis. You say, preacher, you don't have to tell me that. I know. He chases me around every day. I know. I know he does. He's against you. And let's not ever think that he's ever going to be for us. He's always going to be against us because he's always against God. But we see his intention here. We notice a couple of things about this. He says, when this man went out and sowed the good seed in his field, while his men were sleeping, that indicates something to me about this whole situation. It's probably nighttime. The Bible tells us to stay awake and stay alert as the servants in the field of God. That he's going to come back one day and we should not be asleep when he comes. We should be working. But the enemy comes while they're sleeping. He likes to come at night and cause confusion. And do it at night because the works of the devil are done in the darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul tells the church, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. You know, I've often said this, that the world would be a lot better place if whenever the sun went down, everybody went home and got ready for bed. But that's whenever the party cranks up, isn't it? That's when the evildoers gear up to do their evil deeds. And the world has gone from bad to worse because now they do it in daylight. They still do it in daylight. Well, the devil comes at night and he sows these seeds in the field, these weeds in the field. He uses subterfuge. I said I was going to write that word in here and then I can't even say it. But he's a liar and he uses deception. And I think about the darnel because that's really what this word is. It's this weed that comes up and it looks like wheat, but it's actually a weed. And it's false wheat. And it's actually poisonous. And it causes nausea and intoxication. It can be fatal if you have enough of it. So the sower in the field had to be really careful of the tare or the darnel infiltrating the wheat and getting in there because he didn't want that to be part of the wheat. So they ask the sower, did you not sow good seeds? Did you allow there to be some darnel in your seeds that you sowed? And the master says, no, I sowed good seeds. An enemy has done this. Well, the enemy, he sows the seed. You know, it looks a lot like the wheat, doesn't it? When you look at the picture, the darnel's on the right, the tares on the right, and then the wheat's on the left. It looks like wheat, doesn't it? Well, that's the scheme of the devil. He takes on the appearance of good and holy things, but is corrupt and evil. I remember whenever I was a kid, whenever we went to the caves up in Ruby Falls. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, when you start driving up in the Smoky Mountains, you start seeing these red barns with black roofs everywhere that say Sea Rock City. See Roxy, what is it? Well, it's over there close to Chattanooga, and you can go to see Ruby Falls, and it's a beautiful place, but they have these piles and piles of fool's gold. You know what fool's gold is? It's pyrite. It looks a lot. When I was a kid, man, I was like, man, I need some of this. Give me some of that. Mom, can I have some of that? Dad, I want to buy some of this. My dad said, no, that's fool's gold. And they sell that stuff, but it's not real gold. I had a picture of it just to show you how much like gold it looks. I mean, it's shiny. I mean, if you to untrained eyes, looks like the real thing, right? The devil does this. And really what Jesus is talking about whenever he says he's sowing the weeds in the field, he's talking about people who claim to be Christians, and on the outside, they look like Christians. They sound like Christians. They walk like Christians. And if you're just unsuspecting person, you would say, you know, it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, talks like a duck. It's a duck, right? That's what we look at these people and we say that, but they don't know Jesus in their heart. At least 100,000 avowed Satanists worldwide. And that's growing, by the way, daily. There's other things like Islam, false religions, cults. But you know, the most dangerous false religion that the devil spreads is not Islam, it's not Wicca, it's not Satanism, but it's nominal Christianity. Someone who is a Christian in name only. They have no relationship with Jesus. Satan is a liar. I think about the weeds. And I think about my own yard. I have a small yard. It's not a very big yard. And I try to make it look good because everybody else's yard in the neighborhood is all manicured and all that. So I'm trying to keep up with the Joneses. But darn it, if these things don't just come into my yard. And I think about what weeds do. These are the spurge? Spurge. These are spurge on the right here. And I have these red spotted spurge weeds in my yard. And I get out there and I just pull them up, keep pulling them up. I can't pull up a spurge without pulling up some of the grass. You know that? Because you know what the spurge does? It kind of lays down like a carpet, and it's got tentacles that go everywhere, and it's got a taproot that goes down, and it spreads all around, and it kind of makes a carpet. I mean, if you let it go, it'll carpet your yard, and it'll take over and kill all the grass, and it'll just work the grass up. But on the other hand, I got dandelions too. So this, the spurge is like subterfuge. Then the dandelions over there, that's more like infiltration. You know what they do? They just sprout up real big and tall. You can go over and just pluck them things up and get rid of them. But when you do, they're going everywhere. They can spread seeds everywhere. And this is exactly what Satan is doing every day. Not only is he deceiving, he's crawling under everything, trying to get into everything all the time. And he's spreading his lies everywhere he goes. And this is the intent of the enemy that Jesus wants us to be aware of. Now he comes right on out and he says, this is the enemy. The enemy is the devil, Satan, the slanderer. And this is what he does. This is how he acts. Cotton Mather said, that there is a devil is a thing doubted by none but such that are under the influence of the devil. And John tells us in Revelation chapter 12, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Now why were they rejoicing? Because the devil's not there anymore. We finally kicked him out. But then he says, but woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath. He's angry. Why is he angry? Why is he doing everything that he does? Because he knows his time is short. He knows that judgment is coming toward him. So he's doing everything he can to thwart the work of God. be against it. But you know, you can tell the difference between the wheat and the weeds. That dandelion stands up proud and tall. The darnel stands up proud and tall. Spreads its seed everywhere. But you notice something about the wheat? Whenever it gets full of grain, the heads begin to bend over. Literally, the wheat is bowing its head. There's a big difference. Listen to what D.L. Moody said. A man can counterfeit love. He can counterfeit faith. He can counterfeit hope and all the other graces, but it is very difficult to counterfeit humility. You soon detect mock humility. They have a saying in the East among the Arabs that as the tares and the wheat grow, they show which God has blessed. Which one has God blessed? The ears that God has blessed bow their heads and acknowledge every grain. And the more fruitful they are, the lower their heads are bowed. The tares which God has sent has a curse. They lift up their heads erect high above the wheat, but they are only fruitful of evil. Now, that's the intent of the enemy. To sow as many weeds as possible. But I want you to see, secondly, the patience of the master. The patience of the master. Now look again with me in verse 27. He says, let me find my place. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? When he says go and gather them, what he's talking about, what the servants are talking about, are the weeds. You want us to just go and rip up all those weeds and get rid of them? To go through the world and take out everybody that's evil. To go through the world and eradicate all evil in the world. And by the way, if you want to get rid of evil in the world, you must get rid of evil people. And psychology today will teach us there's no such thing as an evil person. There's no such thing as wickedness. We're all essentially good, deep down inside. Even bad people are essentially good. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that wicked men do bad things. That the evil one is at work in our world, and all the evil in the world can be contributed to the work of the evil one, along with those wicked men who are and women who are under his influence. The next time a bad thing happens in your life, I want to challenge you to do this. Just in your heart and in your mind, say, an enemy has done this. And give credit to where credit is due. An enemy has done this. Notice that's what Jesus does. Jesus says, I made a mistake. Or no, I meant to do that. What does Jesus say? An enemy has done this. The evil in the world is from the enemy. But hear what he responds and hear what he says. He says, no, don't pull them up. Why does he say, no, don't pull them up? He gives us an answer. He says, no, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. You've tried to pull weeds. I've tried to pull weeds out of the garden, and up came roots of a tomato. Amen. Oh, man, I didn't mean to do that. You know what I have in my house? I call it a weed eater. I think you're supposed to call it a string trimmer. Weed eater's a brand. But anyway, I have that string trimmer, and I'll be trimming around, and I've got a blueberry bush in the yard, and I said, well, you know what? I'm just going to get right around that blueberry bush, and I lopped off a limb off of that blueberry bush. And I didn't tell Allison. She's not here, so you better not tell her. She's probably going to watch this later, and I'm going to be in trouble. Sometimes when we're weeding out, we end up taking out some of the good plants, some of the what we want. The fruit gets lost in the process. And here's what I understand from this parable. And this is a hard truth. I want you to get this, but it's a hard truth this morning. It is better. Jesus is saying it is better to live in a world with evil and sin and sinful people for a little while, so that the kingdom of God can grow and bear fruit than it is for him to come today. And we pray, come Lord Jesus, come. And the end of the book says, come Lord Jesus. And we do pray that. We pray for his kingdom to come. We pray for him to come. But I think about this whenever I was a kid. I don't know, I was probably 10 or 12. Old enough to pray, but still young enough to be totally naive in my prayers. And sometimes I still feel that way, to be honest. I was doing math homework. And I didn't want to do my math homework. So I knelt down with tears in my eyes and said, Jesus, come back today so I don't have to do my math homework anymore. And now as an adult, some of you kids are like, I'm going to try that when I get home. Well, he didn't come back then. Praise God that he didn't. Because now I've got a tailor. I was going to say, I got a tailor. Who knows Jesus? I got a Caleb who knows Jesus. And I got a Micah that just told his parents that he knows Jesus and he wants to be baptized. But he said, not yet. I'm going to wait a little while. We said, okay. But I do want to be baptized, he said. You see, here's the point, folks. All the suffering and pain and everything that you endure on a daily basis is the Master being patient. He's being patient so that he might reap a full harvest, and he is not content that one that belongs to him should perish. Not one. And he's not going to let one go. In fact, Jesus even said that not one of them, John 18, of those whom you gave me, have I lost, not one. Revelation chapter 20. When the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea, and they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. The devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. God's word says the kingdom of Satan will end. It will end. It's defeated right now. And he's just limping along, squirming around, angry because he knows his time is short. Wreaking havoc as much as he can. But he will end. 2 Peter 3, 8 through 10. But do not overlook this one fact, brother, beloved. Don't overlook it. Don't forget that this is true. That with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. What is that indicating? Is that God can just squish time and expand time as much as he wants to? Yes, he can do that, but that's not the point. The point is that God is patient. He can wait. We're not. I think we're probably the most impatient generation that's ever walked the face of the planet, because everything is instant this and instant that. Online this and online that. We don't even have to wait in a line anymore. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. You notice, second time there, along with the passage that we're reading, that the Bible talks about how the elements will be burned up. The fruitless deeds of darkness will be burned up. The enemy has done this, but what will God do? God has a plan. And He's going to make it all right. Let me tell you this. Everything that's broken will be mended. Every wrong will be made right. Every hurt will be healed. Every pain will be permanently relieved. Every tear will be wiped away. And the saints of God will rise in a glorious day. And that's coming. Now listen to the last point. I want you to see the harvest to come. There's a harvest to come. Look again with me in verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. Good and bad. Those that know the Lord and those that don't. Let them grow together. Let there be some evil in the world for a time. And at the harvest time, Paul calls it that day. On that day, I will tell the reapers. And notice in the key that we see down in verses 36 and following, the reapers are the angels. Jesus tells the angels that they're going to go and gather the weeds first. Now think about that. Gather the weeds first. So the first thing that God's going to do when Jesus returns to this earth, what's the first thing that's going to happen? The weeds will be gathered and bound. Evil men will be bound. Satan will be bound, thrown into the lake of fire. So he tells them to gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn. Matthew 24 and verse 31 says, and he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. There's going to come a day when we'll be gathered up. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that we'll be caught up together. We get the word rapture from that word, caught up. The Latin word rapture is the translation of that word aro, which means to snatch up. We're just going to be doing whatever we do that day. I don't know what you're going to be doing that day. Walking along, sitting in your house, wherever you might be, doing the work that you're called to do on this earth, and God's just going to reach down and snatch you up. I'm excited for that. And we're going to see Him face to face. Paul says in Corinthians, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How fast is that? The physicians tell us that of all of the movements of the human body, the twitch of your eye is the fastest movement. The blink of an eye is the fastest movement of the human body. How fast is it going to be? Just like that. And we're going to be made like Him forever. But there'll be a day when it's too late for the weeds. It's going to be too late. And I would be remiss if I didn't tell you this. There's a place that's called hell. As much as there is a heaven, and a God who dwells there, who is intent to dwell with you and me one day in that place, there's a place called hell. And the Bible teaches us that it's not a place that you want to go. It's a place that burns with sulfur and ashes and embers for eternity. You think it's hot in Florida in the summer. It's hotter in Louisiana in the summer. I've been there. More humid, at least. It's hot in hell, and there's not a drop to drink. It's not a place you want to go. So when Jesus says the weeds will be gathered up and burned, He means that. The weeds will be gathered and burned. So here's the thing, if you're pretending, and with every head bowed and every eye closed, and the reason I say that is because I just want you to be alone with the Lord right now as we talk. I know there's a bunch of people in the room, but right now, bow your heads, close your eyes, and be alone with the Lord. And as I ask this question, I want you to ponder it like your life depends on it, like your eternity depends on it, like heaven is at stake and hell is coming. Are you wheat or are you a weed? You're among the wheat. You look like the wheat. You got all the right answers. You do all the right church things, but you're just pretending. Never ask Jesus to be your Savior. If that's you today, the power of God, and this is the great thing about the parable of the wheat and the weeds, God has the power to transform a weed into a stalk of wheat. He can do that today. He has supernatural ability. And He'll set you free from a life of sin, a life of pretending, a life that's destined for hell. He'll forgive you your sin, and He'll give you a home in eternity with Him. If you will just confess your sin, repent of it, and ask Jesus to forgive you and trust Him to forgive you. So with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to invite you to pray a prayer that basically says that. There's nothing special about the prayer. It's when you mean it in all your heart that this prayer has power. So you pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I admit to you that I'm a sinner. I've done things that are wrong. I've not done what I know is right, even though I've pretended. Right now, I'm coming clean. I don't want to be a weed. I want to be wheat. So, Lord, forgive me for my sin. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. I'll spend the rest of my life loving you and serving you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me? If you prayed that prayer, something miraculous has happened in your heart. Let us know what Jesus has done. This invitation is for you to come, to enter into the family of faith here. Love Jesus here. Don't hold what Jesus has done in your own heart. Let it out and let us know about it. If you need prayer, you said, well, I've been pretending, but I really want to be a true wheat. I said I know Jesus. I've even been baptized, but I've been pretending for far too long, and it's time for me to rededicate my heart, my life. We've got prayer counselors, and I'll be here. We'd love to pray with you. If you're looking for a church home, and you'd say, God's calling me to Myrtle Grove Baptist Church to be a part of the family of faith, listen, we want to welcome you. We want you to be a part of this church and to serve here and to love Jesus here with the saints. And so you come. This is your invitation. You come. Don't wait there. Just come right on out. Get your heart right with the Lord. And then you can leave and tell everybody about it. Let us sing together.